Wendy Nola, Thursdays at 8:40.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren.
So, what is this about the banks? The banks' grubby money-grabbing habit.
That's a bit of a mouthful. So, for years, South Africa's banks have taken it upon themselves without warning to grab money from their clients' current accounts to settle their credit card debts, often leaving them without enough money to meet their debit orders or to get buy food or transport or whatever for the month. It's called set-off. That's the word. It's set-off. It can only happen, it could only happen, if a person had a credit card and a current account with the same bank. And if they owed on the credit card and... or they weren't paying enough and the bank had been hassling and trying to get them to pay as they're supposed to, they would literally then go in with no warning, transfer funds from the current account and put it into the credit card account. So it was often, if there was extra money in the credit in the current account suddenly, or often people had this credit card debt with one bank, closed the account, and years later opened a current account with that bank, and suddenly, whoops, the money was taken.
Yeah.
But no more, thanks to a ruling, unless it's appealed, of course, by the Joburg High Court this week, which outlaws set-off. So the the National Credit Regulator had brought what's known as a declaratory order against Standard Bank. So they were seeking legal clarity from the court on whether or not set-off had been superseded by the National Credit Act Section 124. It's a lot of detail that basically... The NCA has been with us for well over 10 years. I don't know quite why only now, because set-off has been controversial for a long time. But anyway, the court this week ruled that the Section 124 excludes the operation of the common law set-off on all credit agreements that are regulated by the NCA. So that would include the banks.
That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. The CEO, Norm Mutsikare, said the NCA welcomes this judgment as it protects consumers from financial difficulties caused by the arbitrary transfer of funds from their accounts by banks. And the key word there is arbitrary.
Yeah.
So the banking code did allow banks to... she says banks should obtain permission from consumers before transferring funds from their accounts to pay amounts due under credit agreements. But of course, the banks historically argued that the element of surprise is key in successfully applying set-off, because most people, if they got a warning, they would think you whip their money out of their current account so it couldn't be touched. Yeah. So that's why the Code of Banking Practice hasn't required banks to inform account holder before they're going to whip the money out. But it did require them to inform them soon afterwards, which, I mean, the horse has bolted then.
Yeah.
It's not much you could do about
Doesn't help me get my groceries,
Yeah, exactly. So I've taken up many of these cases over the years, and one of the more recent ones I took up did involve Standard Bank, funnily enough, but it's not only Standard Bank that's been doing this. A Standard Bank spokesman responded to one of my complaints by saying that the bank only used set-off to recover money as a last resort.
And now they don't even have that.
No, not unless they appeal. I hope they don't. But the problem was that, they were the banking ombuds had said don't take more than 60% if you must do set-off, and in many cases, honestly, the person was just left with debit orders bouncing and again, pay what you due, and these banks have recovery processes at their disposal, so they can go after the person in the normal way, hand them over, all the rest blacklist. But
responsibility back to the bank with, you must be a little bit more careful with how you dish out credit and who you give it to.
Well, that's a whole reckless lending, that's a whole other show. But yes, that is part of it. But now they can't just go and grab when they feel like
that's
it without warning.
And that's quite a big step. You've given me all year.
So that's that. Speaking of money grabbing, hundreds of small businesses around the country which fell prey to something we've spoken about on this show a few times, the phone directory listing scam.
I remember that.
So they get sort of tricked into thinking they fill in a form thinking they're just confirming their details for the telecoms directory, old phone book as we called it, and then also for online, because most people are looking up numbers online these days.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they didn't read the small print. They'd actually agreed to a 12 or 24 month subscription to some obscure online. Remember that. And then come the debt collecting harassment calls, etc. Well, The Council for Debt Collectors recently found that two Durban-based debt collecting companies, in inverted commas, that were guilty of improper conduct and fined them 100,000 rand each, 90,000 of that being suspended for 3 years on condition that they don't commit further transgressions. In other words, keep doing the same thing during that time. So in effect, they were both supposed to pay a 10,000 rand fine by the end of June.
Okay, June's come and gone. Did they pay?
I'll tell you in a little bit.
Hold on. Cliffhanger moments with Wendy Nolo on Consumer Watch. All right, we'll get that answer when we come back. Quarter to nine traffic, Jayshree.
Thanks, Darren. All's looking good. Just a reminder to motorists that if you're traveling from Toti on the N2 heading towards Higginson, there's going to be roadworks there today and add some extra travel time to your trip. For the East Coast Radio Traffic Team, I'm Jayshree Parathraman.
Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola. Thursdays at 8:40.
It's all coming back to me now, Wendy.
No, I'm too much for my early ears. Sorry, Darren.
Was it too much? So anyway, we're talking about that Durban
something lot. Something a lot more serious. Yes.
Demanding money for pretend telecom directory listing, posing as debt collectors when they weren't even registered as debt collectors. Did they pay their fines after being found guilty of improper conduct by the Council of Debt Collectors?
Okay, so it was 100,000 rand, 90,000 of
suspended.
Which was suspended for 3 years.
But they had to pay
10,000 rand each. And I suddenly realized late last night that it's July.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to check, but I haven't had a response yet. So I'm going to come back on that. I don't want to call it. But yeah. I don't know at this stage. But the interesting part is... If they carry on, then that the rest of that 90,000 comes into play. So it's very important that if someone does get a call from one of these debt collecting agencies and in inverted commas, they need to report it to the Debt Collectors Council.
So,
and we'll get to that.
For anyone who hasn't heard about it, how does the scam work?
Yes. Okay, so these companies in inverted commas, they go by a lot of slightly different names, and I'm not sure whether the two involved are connected or not, nor is the Debt Collectors Council I asked. But anyway, so White Business Pages Limited or White Pages Business Listings or versions thereof, they get hold of phone directories from all over the country, small places, big cities, whatever, and they go through them, and everything in there, I don't know when you last looked at a phone book, but anyway, everything that's bold in there, and it was the same would apply for the online versions, is actually paid for by the little business. So it's medical practices and guest houses and service stations and the like. Sometimes a bigger company had Blue Waters phoning me and saying they didn't get, I'm not sure if I got caught or not, but they got approached with this scam. So they then all they have then is the name of the company and the phone number right out of the phone book. So they phone, and whoever answers the phone, they say, we're phoning about your listings. It's a free thing. We just want to, we're going to send you a form. You just need to confirm your details so they're correct for the listing. Please can we have your email address? So they send the email address, and then they send the form, and it's got, all the usual details. But it's quite a big block actually, but of tiny, tiny, tiny small print says, this has got nothing to do with telecom. This is an online business directory. I agree to a 12-month or 24-month subscription. Must be paid for upfront. If I don't pay, then there will be charges, blah, blah, blah. So of course, everybody, and I'm still getting almost daily emails from people who've been caught by this. So they send it off, and the next minute they get the demand for 8,000 or 10,000, whatever it is. And then come the calls from the so-called debt collecting agents, right? So.
Which is scary. It's scary stuff.
Yes, because then comes the fees, from the so-called debt collecting company. Now, the Council for Debt Collectors, which regulates debt collectors in this country. There's a Debt Collectors Act. There's very strict parameters that they have to stick to. So the council recently held disciplinary hearings of having got around 20 complaints against NCR legal debt collectors and debt review administrations for various forms of improper conduct. The former NCR legal debt collectors, NCR is the same, stands for a national credit regulator normally. So it's a bit of a naughty company name for starters, because it's sort of lending some kind of legitimacy. So that company is owned by Sanjeev Surajpal, 29 years old, and the latter by Ashwin Dwarika, who's 36, and there were, as I say, 20 complaints against them in total. The charges range from, and get this, not being registered, not identifying themselves properly in their correspondence, attempting to recover interest, which they can't do, charging legal fees and document fees, and failing to include their company or CC number in correspondence. Suraj Pal was accused of creating the false impression that the company is a firm of attorneys, when in reality there was only one director, and that was him. And Dwarika of making fraudulent, misleading representations by talking about my client, in inverted commas, when it is one and the same company. And that's something that I've been saying for quite a few years now. In other words, the companies trick business owners into committing to these contracts for a listing with some obscure online directory that they've that these people never have sight of, and then contacts them relentlessly, posing as a debt collecting company and demanding that they pay up. So many did so out of fear, some without telling their bosses, because they feared losing their jobs. And last year, a Yuri of East London said that shortly after he fell victim to the scam, and in fact, they never paid, but the pussy harassment started, he said it was the worst mistake he ever made in a job, and he said he was retrenched shortly thereafter. He says, although my retrenchment letter doesn't refer to this issue, I know that it provoked the actions taken by my employer. He says the fake account has not been paid, but they are persistent, and it's a real irritation. I mean, you know, that's just hideous. It's horrible, man.
So will that guilty verdict by the Council of Debt Collectors stop them at least?
I feared it wouldn't, and it seems I'm right. So just yesterday, I heard from Susan Marshall, who is a medical practice manager in Bloemfontein. As I say, the victims are from all over. Durban, Joburg, Cape Town, and every little city and town.
Anyone who would like to advertise, yeah.
Yeah, anyone who has a listing in a phone book, basically. Yeah. She said the company kept on phoning me to pay the invoice, and yesterday somebody phoned our rooms and said it was some kind of debt collecting department, and they will give me 20% discount if I pay immediately. So that was just yesterday. So it's still going on. As always, what the saga illustrates more than anything else is the danger of not reading the small print. It looks like a schlep, and it probably is, but what happens afterwards if you don't is a far, far, far bigger schlep, as I always say. So the smaller the print, the more important it is that you read it, seek it out, read every word, use a magnifying glass, take a picture on your phone and enlarge, whatever works for you. Yeah. Trust me, just do it. And as I said earlier, if you've received a demand for payment from such a debt collector, in inverted commas, please lodge a formal complaint with the Council of Debt Collectors. We'll put those details on the blog, because, you know, the more complaints they get, the faster that we can put an end to this. And as I say, there is a suspended sentence of 90,000.
And also don't be embarrassed. You know, it's happened to so many people. And
so many people. Yeah. I mean, as I say, barely a day goes by without me getting at least one from someone who says, I feel so stupid, but I was in a hurry, blah, blah, blah. And what do I do now? And I always say the same thing. Just ignore, disengage. The threats aren't real. Just disengage. Eventually they should stop.
All right. We'll have all these details up on the Consumer Watch page, which is on our website, ecr.co.za. And if you want to get a hold of Wendy directly, there is an email option on her Facebook page. And on Facebook, she is Wendy Nola Consumer. There's a K in Nola. Thank you, Wendy Lady.
Thank you, Darren.
East Coast Breakfast.